such an important time. Just did COP26 as a world, trying to figure out how to keep the world cool enough, preferably below 1.5 degrees Celsius of global warming, to prevent some real climate disaster. And I think what was super important about COP26 in many ways was allowing young people to be involved. Because yeah, sure, all of these world leaders, but most of them are not going to face the consequences, guys. And yet they are the ones making the decisions on behalf of business and politicians and whole governments and countries about what they're going to do to try and stop the world from going into a very dark and difficult place. And so what is really wonderful is we now get to welcome three different very, very special people. The first one is Miss Christine Muhigana, who is a UNICEF South Africa representative. Secondly, Sibusiso Mazomba, who's a marine biology and stats and oceanography student at UCT, and who is also a climate change activist. And finally, Almaz Mudali. Yes, it's Mudali, who is a climate change activist and an award-winning debater now onto the show, who are all in different ways and interlocking ways doing wonderful things to fight climate change in South Africa and beyond. Christine, good morning. I'm going to start with you. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm very well.
Thank you so much for joining us. Christine, tell us a little bit about what UNICEF is doing with these wonderful people and did at COP26.
So what we are doing is making sure that the voices of young people, of children, are heard. As you were saying, you know, these very important debates about climate change is happening. Climate change is real and it's here now. And what we do through, among other things, report polls. So we poll young people to find out what they know, how they're impacted, and how they can contribute to the discussions, to the deliberations, to the discussions about solutions, about what's happening in the world, and particularly on climate change.
Okay, that's really interesting. And particularly now with Children's Day, well, Children's Day coming up this weekend, I guess it's even more pressing and more urgent.
Absolutely. What we want to make sure on a day such as World Children's Day, but really every day,
yes,
is to make sure that voices of young people, children, are heard. We want them to be acknowledged, and we want them to be involved in a meaningful way. So it was important that young people, such as the ones we have online or in the studio today, we're at COP26, but also at every decision-making level,
sure,
any forums in the community, in districts, at provincial levels, at national levels, they have to be there,
yeah,
and talk about how they're impacted and how they can be part of the solution to mitigate and to find resilience solutions or sustainable solutions to the services that need to be resilient,
yes,
to climate change.
I completely understand. So Christine, you're not alone. As you said, the two young, wonderful young people who we want to address now. Sibusiso Mazomba, second year marine biology student, oceanography and stats at UCT. How did you get involved? If I understand correctly, you actually went to Scotland. How was that?
Good morning. Thank you for having me today. So I participated in the COP conference in Scotland the last week, and I was there as a party delegate. And you know, being a young person, one of the young person in the room, you know, negotiating on themes of adaptation and loss and damage.
Okay. And
really,
yeah,
was.
How did that involve?
Sorry.
Sorry, keep going, Sibusiso.
Yes, I'm getting a bit of an echo.
Okay, sorry about that. Keep going.
Yeah, so we were, you know, it's hinged on the realization that the climate crisis is here with us now. And as young people, we all need to be raising our voices, to be speaking on the issue, because then we're the ones that are going to inherit the world of tomorrow. And, you know, key to, you know, making sure that we fight for climate action that is rooted in climate justice is to make sure that, you know, developing countries have technical and financial support for adaptation and mitigation. And, you know, as one of the smallest, contributors to the climate crisis, we really need the polluters, you know, in the global north to pay the price for, you know, those implementation and adaptation measures.
That's super
so
interesting.
That was,
so CBC,
where the conference
so
was
what I love about what you were saying is the fact that we obviously as a country do need to adapt, and as the less wealthy end of the world do need to adapt and figure out how we can become greener. But also these are very, very expensive measures that very, very often come at an enormous price. And for nations like ours that are not producing most of the damage, a lot of the damage is coming from richer nations. It's super important that richer nations help us to have some kind of meaningful effect. Now, I want to bring in the third person who we are delighted to be joined by on the phone. Almaz Mudali, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing well.
Thank you so much for joining us. Where are you in South Africa right now?
I'm in Johannesburg. I'm at school at the moment.
Oh, no. What school are you at? Thank you for bunking class for us.
I'm at Rodin School.
Oh, nice. You know what's hilarious? Because you're a champion debater, if I understand correctly. When I did debating, Rodin was super good. Like, we lost to you guys all the time. Is Rodin still super good? I see you've won some awards and things.
I hope that we're keeping up our standard. I personally really enjoy doing debating at Rodin.
Okay, good. I'm sure you guys are. So tell me a little bit about, like, what you are thinking about climate change. If I understand correctly, you're doing a lot of work to try and tell people how important it is that young people take control of this very important issue.
Yes. So over the past year, I've had the privilege of being involved in the South African Youth Climate Action Plan, which is a policy document drafted completely by youth.
Which
is very exciting for me. And it contains climate change recommendations from the youth of South Africa. And we drafted the Youth Climate Action Plan, which CBC was also a part of, in time for COP26. And I think it's a great example of meaningful youth participation. And it shows that we can come up with innovative ideas and we can draft policy with unique ideas. I implore everybody today to read the YCAP, and I may be biased, but I think the YCAP is very eloquent.
That's good.
Also on the YCAP, we have lots of recommendations, but what I've been trying to campaign for is for meaningful youth participation.
Yes.
That my fellow speakers have also touched on before me, because we have ideas, but we need the funding, and we need the concrete support.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. So how do you think young people can better participate in trying to influence the way that we treat our world in future?
I think that young people are still not true citizens. We don't have the right to vote.
Okay.
And very simply, I think that the decision-making spaces need to be decentralized, and we need to have a bottom-up approach. It's very simple for me. I think the whole voting system is fraught with inequality.
Wow, that's super interesting. Okay. Well, that's one way that they can definitely make their voices louder if younger people can vote and participate more meaningfully. We're going to be back with Almaz Sibusiso and Christine in a second.
Exeshabu Z, it's time to level up to G status with the Samsung Galaxy A Series 5.